So now I'm going to finish, or what I planned of, Genesis chapter 19 with the deliverance of Lot, part 2. And I first, as I open this up, I want to correct something that I said last week that came out. And I said it was going to sound funny, but it came out so wrong as far as I'm concerned. So I want to deal with that first. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for divine truth. Lord, as your word is spoken, so speak to your people, Holy Spirit. Teach, Lord, through me. Lord, use my mouth. Father, that we might be changed and transformed by the eternal word of God, Lord, into your image and into your likeness. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. I said last week at the end of the message that God saving us was not enough. And that, but that's not what I meant. I mean, know that oftentimes we say things that we don't mean. What I was trying to do was better illustrate, and did a poor job of it, was illustrating simply this, is that in God's salvation, he gives us responsibility. That's what I was trying to say, okay? Because on the one hand, as we're looking at the story of Lot, the angels come to deliver Lot. They do their part, but then they say to Lot, Lot, leave the city, okay? So there's two parts. God will do, he will do what he says he's going to do, but then there's a requirement on our part. Lot, we will deliver you, but there's something you have to do. You've got to leave the city in order to be saved, because we're going to destroy the city. Romans 10:8-9 says, verse 11 says, for whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right? Jesus says, to him who believeth and is baptized, what's our part with salvation? Our part is to believe. Jesus said in John 6:29, when the Jew says, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he sent. Come on. He said, what was their part? What was the work? For them to believe. They had a part. That's what I was trying to say last week. So in God's salvation, he has provided, he has ordained that there be a part for us. And so we have responsibility. Amen. We see that all throughout the New Testament. We see it in Paul's teaching everywhere. And so if we are truly born again, then there will be a corresponding works of salvation, works of righteousness that comes through the imparted righteousness of Jesus Christ into our lives. So with that said, I'm going to turn now to Genesis chapter 19. And I want to start in verse 12, where we left off last week. Then the men, the angels, and Lot at this point knows that they're angels, because after they pulled him into the house, they smote the men of the city. Right. These were all the men of the city. I mean, the men came from every quarter of the city. They smote all these men with blindness and confusion, so as to, they didn't know what they were doing. And so the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here? Have you anyone else here? And I thought to myself, you could stop right there and preach an entire message. Let me ask you what the angels asked Lot. Do you have anyone else here? Think about it. Who do you have here that you would want to see rescued? You would want to see delivered? Because just as it was with Sodom, judgment was coming. Judgment is coming here, church. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, likewise as it was in the days of Sodom, they'll be eating and drinking, giving in marriage and so forth, buying and selling, until, and the scripture says, when Noah got into the ark, they didn't know that judgment was coming. When Lot left Sodom, they didn't know that day judgment would fall. So it shall be when the Son of Man returns. it's going to be just like any other day. If it's in the spring, people be getting up to a spring morning looking forward to, oh, this is going to be a glorious, and won't know that judgment day is upon us. Have you anyone else here? Had a customer come into the office. I was going to a business trip on Wednesday, drove up to Philly, was there for a couple days. Drove back on my way back Friday, a customer called me and says, Pat, I need to bring a rug over. Dog had an accident. Can I bring it over? I said, well, I'm in Philly, but I'll be back, and you can bring the rug over. So he brings the rug over, and we always chat about the Lord because he knows the Lord. So whenever he comes by, we get to talk about Jesus. And he said, this time, he says, Pat, my dad is, it's a wonder he's not dead now. Because they put him in the hospital and said, he said, matter of fact, they called him one night and said, come on up. Well, he won't make it through the night. And so he goes up, and his dad says, son, I just want to go home and take care of your mother. And so he gets up and leaves the hospital. And but my customer said to him, says, Dad, do you know if when you die, do you have eternal life? He says, well, son, what do I need to do? I mean, what has to, he says, I think I've done everything right. He said, Dad, it's not what you do. It's what you believe. It's not what you've done, but it's what you believe about God's son. And his father said, well, son, if that's the case, then I believe. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord. He said, I believe. I believe. Got up out of the hospital, went on back home to take care of his wife. And his son said, well, you know, Dad, if you believe in us, then that's all that matters, is that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're sitting in the office talking about that, and I'm thinking about this scripture that says, do you have anyone else here? This son was concerned about his father, who might not make it through the night. He had it in his mind, I have someone else here, and I need to do something about it. Because if this story does anything for us, it tells us, it does a lot for us, but one of the things it does is it says, that is there anyone here that I love, that I care about, that is in the circle of my influence that I haven't gone to? Because the angel says, have you anyone else here, son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city? You know, one thing about this story is that you see the expanse of grace. You see the expanse of grace. See, because 2 Peter says that Lot was a righteous man. But one righteous person. Listen, the angels didn't go and just, they didn't just leave. They didn't just say, Lot, you come on, forget the rest. They said, who do you have in this city? Right. Listen, they didn't just stop with sons and daughters. He said, and whomever. Doesn't that sound familiar? Whosoever will, let him come unto me. Let him come unto the living waters and drink. He said, whomsoever you have in this city, said, take him out of this place. So you see, the grace of God is now expanding out. Lot, it's to you. It's to your wife. It's to your sons, to your daughters. It's to your sons-in-laws. It's to whoever you would have in this city. I'm looking at that going, oh my God, yes. Yes. Oh, my God. And he says, take them out of this place. Listen, a righteous person, Jude speaks of saving them by fire, where you pull people out of the fire. They're living in such a way that the fires of judgment are upon them, but you rescue them. You pull them out of the fire. And so, we see the expanse of the grace of God. So the deliverance of Lot and the offer included more than just Lot. Proverbs 11, verse 4. reads, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Proverbs 11:6, two verses later, the righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be caught by their lust. And we see this happening in this story. I'll get to that later. But one thing that we see here, as it was then, so it is now. Lot was a righteous man, and he's told about an impending judgment. Not only was he told it, he believed it. As it was then, so it is now. Do you know who are the ones who know that judgment is coming? The righteous. That's you. That's me. We believe that judgment is coming. Why? Because the righteous God has declared it. And we believe what he tells us. Verse 14. I didn't finish reading all of that. Verse 13. He says, take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Verse 14, so Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters. Now, some scholars, you know, have differences of opinion about whether he had two married daughters and two single daughters. Other scholars believe that he had two betrothed daughters who would have been in that day essentially the same as being married, but they were still virgins. They hadn't gone off to live with these betrothed husbands yet. So it says that Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-laws who had married his daughters and said, get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. He seemed to be joking. Now, this is a couple things here. Number one, what have we said about the word of God, about when a word comes to us from God? We said this, when God says something, it's done. He doesn't have to break a sweat to do anything. Everything he does, he can do by speaking. Why? Because everything obeys him. If the thing doesn't exist, it comes into existence. I mean, he speaks it, he commands, and it stood fast. Psalm 33 says that, right? And so now, when the word of the Lord comes to a person, because here we have Lot going out to his sons and his sons-in-law, and he says, get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. Now, when the word of the Lord comes to a person, the conditions for the word of the Lord to come to pass are set. The conditions, in other words, you know, Jesus said when he was talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he says that a person must not only be born of water, but he also must be born of the Spirit. He said the wind blows, you don't know where it comes from, and you don't know where it goes. He says, but just because you don't understand it doesn't make it not so. It is still the case. He says, so is one who is born of the Spirit. He says, now, you don't understand. Do you know how people get saved? I mean, you know how myriad of ways people get saved. Some people actually read the Bible and it seems like there's a cognitive mental ascent and they get saved. And it seems like I did it. You know, glory to God. I came to understanding myself. It would seem that way. But we know that flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. It is impossible for Gospel of John chapter 12, which were born not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of blood, nor of man, but of God, right? That's how a person is born again. They're born of God. So when the word of the Lord, when we go out Lot would be going out to his sons-in-law, talking about get up out of this place, we go to those with whom we would share the gospel with, and when we share with them the good news, the conditions are set for them to be saved. When we share the gospel, Every time we share the gospel, the conditions are set for that person to be saved. You say, well, then how come some people get saved? How come? I'll tell you. One day I was in the gym. Years ago, I was in the gym and working out. And I had a guy come up to me. He says to me, he says, Pat, I'll trade you my calves if you give me your arms. And I said, I had been in a place of condemnation because I had sinned against the Lord. In my mind, though I repented, I was still just being beaten up in my mind. And so I was actually really down on myself. And it was at that point of weakness, like just condemnation, being beat down. You know, when you're weak, is that the Lord can really use you when you're weak, when you don't think you're all that. I don't know if any of you have experienced this, but when you don't think you're all that in a bag of chips, the Lord can really use you. And so when this guy said this and I was really down on myself, I was actually looking down when he said it. It was like an anointing came from heaven, fell down in that gym and hit me. And when I looked up, it was like I just started preaching. I mean, I didn't start yelling or anything like that, but I just came out with the gospel. I started telling him about Jesus Christ right there in the gym. But it was another guy with him, and they were both G-string dancers. They were these guys who would go and be in the club and people putting money in there. You know, there was these type of guys. I mean, some good looking, you know, built guys. And both of them at the same time. So I'm there preaching to them. What happens is one guy comes under such conviction. Later, he said, yeah, why don't you come to church with me on Sunday? He says, okay, I'll come to church with you. But he was under such, the other guy, nothing happened. This guy was under such conviction that he called me 2 days before church or something like that. He was crying, sobbing over the phone. I can't wait, Pat. You got to do something. I don't know what's going on. Help me, please. I led him to Jesus right then and there over the phone. I said, you need Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for you and rose again. He said, oh, yeah, yeah. And my mother's in the room ironing clothes. It was so powerful that the Holy Ghost hit her. She says, what on earth is going on that telephone? I said, Mama, this boy getting Holy Ghost saved. He just getting saved. And I mean, he got saved. Now, I mention all that to say this. I talked to both guys at the same time. Okay? One got radically born again, came to church. We laid hands on him. He got filled with the Holy Ghost. He following Jesus today. That was 1988. Okay? The other guy, nothing. The wind blows. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it goes. So is he who was born of the Spirit. My point is this. We don't know how people get saved. All we are told to do is to be faithful to deliver the word. When we deliver the word, the conditions are set for the word to come to pass. So when we preach the gospel, we don't determine who, but when we share the gospel, the person we're sharing with, the conditions are set for them to be saved. The conditions are set for them to be saved. What? How do we know? Well, when Lot said to these young men, get up and get out of the city, guess what? The conditions for deliverance, for their deliverance, were set. There it is. It's already done. Once the word comes, why? Because when God brings the word, it's done. All you got to do is receive it. All you got to do is believe it and obey it. So when Lot goes out, he gives the word of the Lord. He says, get up and get out of this place. The Lord's going to destroy this city. That's what God does his part. He gives the word. What's our part? To believe it. Right? To obey it. What did the sons-in-law, how did they act? They thought he was joking. Why? Why did they think he was joking? Well, it's very simple. Right? Everything that was going on the way everything was always going on. Hello? Everything, I mean, what are you so upset about, Lot? I mean, it's like Noah with the ark. What's your problem? What's rain? There's no rain. There's no rain. What is this boat? We don't know what a boat is. We don't know what rain is. What? Everything's the same. Nothing's changed. I don't have to worry about anything. And so nothing had changed from day to day to warrant fear of judgment. There was no warning. Okay? And so they, you know, I don't know if Lot was a joking type of righteous man, but for some reason they thought he was joking and didn't pay any attention to what he had to say. Verse 15. When the morning dawned, so here you have Lot had the angels come in the evening. At night, had the whole thing with the men at the door. Then Lot goes out. The men apparently disperse. And Lot was able to go out and speak to his sons-in-law. Now you have the evening in the Jewish cycle would be 6 p.m. So you have there from all night long to the morning. Lot has this word that the city is going to be destroyed. And verse 15, it says this: when the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry. They urged him to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." Now, the Bible does not tell us what Lot did all night. I mean, can you imagine? Two angels now. They've disclosed, I mean, they didn't tell you we're angels, but they done showed you pretty much. We're angels. We're going to destroy this place. You need to get out. What would you do? The moment he said, I'll turn around, look at my children, say, "Feet don't fail me now. Let me, you better get with it." Because I tell you what, when the angel said it's time to go, don't pack no bag, nothing. Gone. I'm gone. But something here. But then as I thought about that, I said, come on, son, you're living in this world. You're living in this present Sodom. Hello. Let's bring it home. You're living in this present Sodom. When God speaks, do you jump now? Do you jump now? Because you like to say that Lot was a little slow, but I'd be quick. But when God, I told you this story before, I'll tell you again. I was driving down the road with a car full of young people. This is when you know when you first get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, the Lord has mercy on you and just does stuff that he's cradling you and just blessing you all kinds of ways. And I'm driving down the road. I'll never forget this, where I was on Route 236, Fair City Mall, right there going through Fairfax. And I'm in the right-hand lane. And there's pretty good traffic there. We're going around, and I'll never forget hearing clear as day, the Holy Spirit said, "Get out of this lane." That's all when God speaks, you know it's him, right? But there's always your part. There's always your part. He said, "Get out of this lane." And without even thinking, I just looked around, hit my signal at the same time, and got out of the lane. As soon as my car got out of the lane, there was a 5-car accident. And I would have been number 3 because someone slammed on the brakes and they hit, and just bang, bang, bang. And I saw it. I saw what happened. And I was beside myself with Holy Ghost joy, amazement, and fear. Because I understood what had just happened. But also I understand now as one older in the Lord that God speaks so many times and that I still have to respond. What if I hadn't responded? What if? I told you the story of my mother planting her flowers and the Holy Ghost said to her, "Go in the house." She said, "Yeah, Lord, as soon as I plant these last few bulbs," Holy Spirit came again and said, "Get up, go into the house." And my mother persisted. She did just what Lot did. And because we'll see here in a sec. She says, "Yeah, thank you. Yes, Lord. I just kind of turn over this little bit of dirt on this bulb." And the Lord didn't say it a third time because by that time, the dog from across the street on his chain, the big German Shepherd, had broke loose from the chain. And he's coming across the yard after my mother. And mama jumps up. Now, let me tell you. Now she wants to get into the house. I'll never forget coming home. Legs were all bloodied up because she was running to get in the house and fell up brick steps and cut her legs and all this. And I say all this because God speaks to us, beloved. What's going on here with Lot is not, of course, the weight of it is enormous because cities are going to be destroyed. But the fact of the matter is that it came through the word of the Lord, and the Lord still speaks. He still speaks. Amen. Excuse me. So take your wife, your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. And as if that weren't enough, you look at verse 16 and it says this. And while Lot lingered. While Lot lingered. Now, before I get on Lot, I have to look at my own life. Patrick, where are you lingering? Where are you lingering in a place where you ought not to be? This is what I get out of this, right? While he lingered, the men took hold of his hand and his wife's hand and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him. Beloved, there's a picture of us. Here's a picture of us. Now, why would Lot linger in the place of sin after receiving a word of impending judgment? Why? Why would you linger there? Well, we know he was tempted. But he was, listen, the reason why Lot lingered, one of the reasons possibly would have been this. He was tempted to keep doing what he'd always done. You see, why was Lot lingering? Well, he went there, didn't he? He stayed there. He was there when the angels came. Lot was used to the sin. Now, even though he wasn't participating in it, he was used to it. What happened to those angels that night? That wasn't anything new. Man, that was one of the reasons Lot said, please come into my house. No, please come under my roof, because Lot knew. These boys in this city rough. You come here. But so one of the reasons would have been that he was tempted to keep doing what he's always done, which is living amongst the sin. He was comfortable where he was. You know, many a times why we don't leave where we are? It's because we're comfortable where we are. I'm praying, Lord, never let your church be comfortable here. We cannot get too comfortable here. Why? This is not home. This is not home. Thank you, brother. The longer one takes to act on the word of the Lord, the more tempted one will be to think that it is not true. Hello? The longer one takes to act on the word of the Lord, the more tempted one will be to think that it is not true. We see this in different stories across the Bible. You know, when Balak came to Balaam and said, come curse Israel. Initially, Balaam went to the Lord. And the Lord said, no, don't go with him. But Balaam got a better offer. And then he began to actually just begin to think about, well, maybe the Lord didn't really mean what he meant. Maybe if I go, I need to go ask him again. And that was his downfall, we know. Right? He knew what the Lord said, but he wasn't willing to leave it alone. See, he wasn't acting upon that word which said, no, don't go. So the Lord gave him what he wanted. He said, sure, go ahead. Go ahead, but I'm going to kill you, Balaam. I'm going to kill you. Right? Amen. And while the Lord didn't do it with the angel standing with his sword outdrawn, he didn't do it that time, but he did it later. Joshua did it, though. It's just the agency was different. Joshua and his boys rode through, and they killed Balaam. They killed him. All right. So now here we have this passage of scripture is just a picture of, you know, you and I. While he lingered, the men took hold of his hand. Now watch this. Two angels. Four hands. Four hands for Lot, his wife, and his two daughters. Just right. They grabbed each one by the hand and took them out of Sodom. Listen, it is very possible that Lot was not going to leave Sodom on his own. We see what the scripture says. The Lord, being merciful to him, took him by the hand. What's true of Lot, we know is true of us. There's no way we were going to leave Sodom. Do you know, even as a Christian, we can get so used to this world. We can get so comfortable that the Lord be merciful to us, grab us by the hand, and I'm taking you out. I'm taking you out. Lot's salvation was all due to the Lord having mercy upon him. For even though he was righteous, he wouldn't do what was beneficial for himself and his family. He wouldn't leave on his own. The Lord had to grab him by the hand and take him out of the place of judgment. Is that right? That goes on in the lives of believers too. In 1 Corinthians, Paul said, I've delivered unto Satan one that I've delivered him unto Satan for the destruction of his flesh. Others he delivered to Satan so they might not learn to blaspheme. And he did things so that people's souls could be saved. He turned them over, if you will. But this line, the Lord being merciful to him, I wanted to stop and preach a whole message on mercy. I'm not going to do that. But I will mention a few scriptures because the mercy of God is what we owe our salvation to. Ephesians 2, 4 through 6 says this, but God who is rich in mercy. There is no way to measure the mercy of God. The passage of scripture we're looking at says that God is merciful. He's merciful. He's full of mercy. And that's the only reason why Lot and his family were saved, was because God was merciful. Ephesians 2, 4 says, but God who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive with Christ. How were we made alive with Christ? Because of his mercy. Because of his mercy. Titus 3, 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. 1 Peter 1, 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Oh, we're going to talk about that resurrection power next week. But it is amazing. What God has done. It is amazing. And so we move on then to verse 17. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside. So the angels bring Lot, his wife, and his two daughters outside of the city that he said, some referring to the he, not the they of the angels. Some scholars believe that this now would be Christ. Mentioning the singular there, you know, it doesn't say. But he said, escape for your life. Here comes then the divine command again. Boy, we need to hear God when he speaks. Yes. We need to hear. Escape for your life. Do not look behind you. How many of you know God does not waste words? When he says something, it needs to be paid attention to. He's saying it for a specific purpose. And that purpose and reason is for our benefit, not his. Right. When he speaks to us, it's for our benefit. Amen. He doesn't benefit any way from us. We benefit in every way from him. right? So he says, escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. So obedience to the word of the Lord is our salvation. Disobedience is our destruction. So in verse 18, it goes on and says, then Lot said to them, please know, my lords. Now, when you get here, you say to yourself, now I know Lot was righteous, but I'm beginning to question now whether he was crazy. I know he was righteous because the Bible says he was righteous, but I'm beginning to question whether or not he was out of his mind, whether he was crazy. Because the divine word just says, escape for your lives, go to the mountain. He says, please know, my lords. Okay, so now, he's gone to now counsel God as to how he's going to deliver him. I know you're saving my life, but could you do it this way? I mean, it's like, but what we're really seeing here, when we get down to this passage of the scripture, what we're really seeing is the amazing stretch of God's grace, okay, as he allows man to impact or to, not to change, because he didn't, but to influence the path of salvation, as it were. Because he says, please know, my Lord, indeed now your servant has found favor in your sight. And he is definitely correct there. And you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains. Right. And he says, I cannot do what you just told me to do. Right. Now, what do we say about God? Whenever God tells you to do something, he never tells you to do something you cannot do. That wouldn't be right, would it? No. Whenever he speaks to us to do something, it's because he gives us the power then to do it. And so Lot says, I cannot escape to the mountains lest some evil overtake me and I die. So what do we find out? We find out that Lot can escape to the mountains, but he doesn't want to because he's scared. It's because of fear. He's afraid. So when he said to the angels, no, my lords, I thought, God, and he is, beloved, he is so patient. He's long-suffering. And he is kind. And so Lot seems to think that he knows better than God. In other words, he says, you can save me, but I can't do anything to save myself. And that's quite a bit different than what we just said. In actuality, if God saves you, he's going to require that you do something to save yourself. Hello? If God saves you, he's going to require that you do something to save yourself. So Lot didn't recognize that evil was overtaking him in Sodom. He said, some evil may overtake me in the mountains. Hello, Lot. Is anyone home? Evil is overtaking you in Sodom. And that's why we're telling you to go to the mountain. If God tells you to go to the mountain, what's he going to do? He's going to provide for you and protect you in the mountain. God will never tell you to go where he won't provide for you or protect you. Is that right? That's the Bible, man. All right, so down in verse 20, see now, Lot goes on, see now, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. Speaking of Zoar, which was earlier named Bela. But Lot reasons that he doesn't want to go to the mountains because of fear, but he chooses this other city, which is named Zoar. Now, there were Sodom and Gomorrah, along with those cities, there were five cities of the plain. Sodom, Gomorrah, Zeboim, Adma, and Zoar. The city that Lot is asking to be spared is one of the cities that the Lord wanted to destroy. And he said to him, the angel said to him, or the Lord, see, I have favored you concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Lot spoke for a city, and the Lord said, I won't overthrow it. What city are we speaking to the Lord for? Come on. What family? What people are we speaking to the Lord for? Now, Lot had selfish reasons for speaking to the Lord. But the Lord said to him, I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. And if Lot did it for selfish reasons, I believe we can do it for holy reasons. Yeah, Lord. And so the angel said, hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. I cannot do anything. In other words, the Lord had restrained the angels and said, don't do anything until the righteous are totally delivered. Don't do anything. Oh, my goodness. Beloved, that's a picture of us. It's a picture of Jesus coming to deliver his righteous. And then after that, destruction will come. Some people see an allusion to the rapture or the post-trib, mid-trib, a-trib. Don't ask me position. I don't have a position. The only position I have is be ready when he comes. That's the only position I have. I don't have charts. I don't have timelines and all of that. I don't have any of that. All I know is that when he comes, I want to be found righteous in his sight. I want to be found in Jesus. Right? So, now, what we see, you know, in the, Lot says this city is near enough to flee to. Lot was more concerned about the distance he would have to go to be saved rather than salvation itself. He was more concerned about the distance. He says, listen, this city is near enough. In other words, it's not far away because I don't want to expend too much energy concerning my own salvation. Right. Lot didn't want to go far. But how far has he called us to go? I'll tell you how far. All the way. All the way. Scripture says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Jesus said, he that endures to the end shall be saved. Listen, however far he tells us to go is worth it for our salvation. Is not too high a price to pay. So Lot's petition also caused one of the five cities marked for destruction to be spared. That's an interesting thought. Verse 23 reads, the sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. So once the righteous were delivered, judgment came. Sodom, Gomorrah, Zeboim, and Adma were destroyed. But it doesn't end there because in verse 26, Scripture says, but his wife looked back behind him. Some scholars believe that she not only looked back, but she turned and began to go back. We don't hear, or we don't know, put it this way, of Lot being married before he separated from Abraham. Some scholars believe that Lot, when he got to Sodom, married a woman of Sodom. If that would be true, then you would understand then why a woman of Sodom, after leaving Sodom, would have some reservations and want to look back. Some scholars even believe that this would have had an effect upon Lot's own life. Having married a woman from Sodom and his staying there. Some scholars say that he was there for 20 years. That's a long time to live amongst the sin that he was in, having to live amongst that lifestyle. So looking back now, we remember was in direct rebellion to the word of God, was in direct rebellion to it. Why did she look back? Well, she probably longed for Sodom and Gomorrah and what those cities represented. Could have been her home, could have been all that she knew. We don't know exactly why, but we know this. If God said, don't look back, when he said it, the power for you to do it was resident in him saying it. So we know she didn't have to look back, even if you came from there. Beloved, it's the same with you and I. God saves us, takes us outside of the city, and he says, now, don't look back. And that song we sing, I believe it's called I Need You More. In the refrain, it talks about, because I never want to go back to my old life. I never want to go back to my old life. Jesus said, any man putting his hand to the plow and look back is not worthy of me. He said, you can't say you're going to come and plow with me and work with me and labor with me and then long for what was back there. He says, no, you're not worthy of me if you do that. Remember the one man said, I'll do whatever you tell me. And Jesus said, go preach the kingdom of God. And he says, let me go back and bury my parents. He says, you're not worthy of me. Let the dead bury the dead. But you go preach the gospel. He wanted to go back, which scholars say to have buried his parents means that he would have had to wait for them to die, which would have postponed his service of Jesus. And that's why Jesus said what he said. So in verse 26, his wife looked behind him and she became a pillar of salt. Listen, she was saved from the overthrow of the city. But she didn't do what was necessary to save herself. Now, God saved her, but she didn't do what was necessary to save herself, which was don't look back. Your responsibility is to hear the word of the Lord. That's what God with the angel said to her. Be careful that you do not look back. Jesus mentioned the same thing in Luke chapter 17 when he was talking to his disciples. And he said, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes. But now he was actually talking about when Jerusalem would be destroyed in 70 AD when Titus marched in. Jesus said this, that two men will be working on the roof. He says, and let none of them come back down and get anything from inside. He said, two women will be grinding at the mill. But don't let anyone run back into the house to get anything. He said, actually it's interesting because if you when you read it, he says the same thing that the angel said to Lot. In Luke 17, he said, flee to the mountain. Lead to the mountains. And then he said this. When he said, don't come get anything out the house, he said this. Luke 17, 32, he said this. Remember Lot's wife. Told the Jews this. He said, when the destruction comes upon Jerusalem, head to the mountains. Don't go to get anything. What was he talking about? He was like, the things that you would want, the things that you think you're going to need, the things that your heart are wrapped around. Don't go back in your house to get it. Don't be like her. Remember her and flee. Flee to the mountain. Luke 17, 31, in that day, he who was on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. So even though this woman was delivered by the angels, taken by the hand outside of the city, she still met with judgment because she wouldn't do what was her responsibility to do to be saved. And then our last few verses for today. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. Then he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land, which went up like the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. So what we see here is that Lot's deliverance was on the account of Abraham. Lot's deliverance had little to do with him. It was Abraham who took up his cause. That's no more than a picture of what happened to you and I. Because, beloved, somebody prayed for you. Somebody prayed for me. Come on. There were some people praying before we were even born or while we were yet toddlers or what. Somebody was praying. Somebody was interceding. Somebody was being Abraham, going up into the gap and saying, Father, have mercy. Father, save. Father, heal. Father, deliver. Father, set free. And so we see that Lot's deliverance was on account of Abraham's calling, his covenant, his relationship with God. And so our salvation, we see, was not the wholly dependent upon us. Someone prayed for us that we might be saved. We then are to intercede for others that they might be saved. And then one other interesting side note was this. I'll mention this one more verse and close. Verse 30 says this. Now remember, Lot, he lobbied for Zoar to be spared so that he could go there. But verse 30 says this. Then Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains. Hello. Then Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters with him. Listen, for he was afraid. Now, watch this. When the God told him, when the angels told him to go to the mountains, he didn't want to go there because he was afraid. So he didn't take God's choice, but he takes his choice. He said, okay, he goes to Zoar. And he leaves there because he is afraid. Now, why was he afraid to live in Zoar? Well, it's very simple. What was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah was going on in Zoar. And he saw what the Lord did to Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot said, you know what? At least what we see is some growth in Lot. Because he wouldn't leave Sodom. The angels had to take him out of Sodom. But he left Zoar. He did that on his own. Which means that Lot began to be uncomfortable with what was going on in Zoar. He wasn't uncomfortable with what was going on in Sodom. He's lingering around. Hey, the angel said, hurry up. He's lingering around. But he leaves Zoar because he's afraid. I'm convinced that he saw the same lifestyle that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he was afraid to live there, so he left. But he ended up doing what the Lord said to him at the first. It just goes to show that if we obey God first, we won't have to fiddle through all of the... I mean, how many of us have gone through... It's like the time when I got sick, and I said I got stomach poison or food poisoning. And I said, Lord, heal me. And the Lord did it. He said, go get an X-lax. Yeah, I said, no, that can't. No. Father, touch me. Hallelujah. Heal me, Father. Lay hands on my body. He said, go get an X-lax. No, that can't be it. I'm praying and, you know, I'm deep spiritual man of God. I was a young Christian being an idiot is what I was doing. And then when I woke up 8 hours later, just as much pain as I was when I went to bed, I sought the Lord again. He said, I told you to go take a laxative. And when I took the laxative, I was blessed and refreshed and healed from head to toe. Why can't we just obey God in the beginning? Come on. Well, just obey him in the beginning, and then you don't have to go through all of that. I'm sorry. I humbled myself. I'm sorry. But that's just the way it is. It's the truth. It's the truth. And, so let's stand to our feet. Amen. I hope this word, amen, has helped you and blessed you. Father, we thank you for your truth. Thank you for your word as it comes to us. Lord, we ask your blessing now, Lord, upon the application of your word, oh God, in our lives, Lord, that we thank you for the salvation that is ours only through Jesus. And Father, as it was with them, so it is with us, Lord, as we hear your word and we live according to your word, Lord, that we do what is our responsibility, Lord, to walk with you, to love you, to be your very own, Father, to believe everything that you say. Oh, Lord, help us to mature and grow and what it means to in the knowledge and love of our Savior, I pray, more and more each day in Jesus' holy name. And everyone said amen, amen, amen and amen. God bless you real good.